Xavier Rhodes on the bench, not out there on third down and 10. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown.
You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kiss. You can follow my XNO work for InsideThePylon.com, follow my draft and fantasy work for BreakingFootball.com. Most of my work, of course, right now is on LockedOnEagles.com as we prepare for the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, Ben hit the road. He is in Mobile before me for the Senior Bowl, checking out the prospects. I'll be linking up with him. I am doing a late night drive to Mobile. Along with me is going to be Brad Kelly from BreakingFootball.com. He's going to be taking the journey with me as well. Turns out he's a Patriots fan, so this is actually kind of perfect. Brad, how you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, man. So let everyone know where they can find your stuff, your Twitter stuff, your social media, all that good stuff.
Twitter handle is at BradKelly17. Instagram is the same thing, but all my work is with Breaking Football at Breaking_FB. All my articles can be found there.
What's your background with football? Because I know you do some coaching, Brad.
I played the game since I was seven. I played 4 years of college ball at Salve Regina University, which is a Division III school in Rhode Island. Got right into coaching at the high school that I went to and been coaching for 2 years.
Definitely qualified. This guy knows his wide receivers for sure. Can't wait to get his thoughts on some of these Senior Bowl guys. But first, we have to talk about what happened this past weekend. The pure domination by the Philadelphia Eagles. We're gonna bypass the Patriots for a second. We're gonna talk about the Locked On Eagles. We're gonna talk about the Eagles here for a second. First thing I did when I got home and Brad was here, I put on Eagles versus Vikings. It was only proper to do. I had to see it again. I've only watched it about four times now. Watched on my lunch at work, all that good stuff. It's an amazing game, an exhilarating feeling watching what this team did to a historic defense. Brad, what were some of your takeaways? We watched the first half, which was basically the entire game. What were some of your main takeaways from that performance by the Eagles?
Yeah, definitely the Eagles' ability on defense to force turnovers, the pick six, the strip sack, which took away points from the Vikings, and them getting off the field at the end of the half to allow the Eagles to get another 3 points right before the end of the half.
Yeah, there was 10 points scored at the end of that half. You had the touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, and then you had the field goal set up when a team like the Jaguars kneeled on the ball going into the half.
Love it.
I know, for sure. And you thought maybe Peterson was going to do the same thing because they knew that they were getting the ball in the beginning of the second half. You have a 2-score lead, but then they do that little heat check with the screen pass to Ajayi on the outside, and they get some yards. And look, if you've been watching the Eagles all season, you know that Doug Peterson, Big Balls Doug, is very, very aggressive, and he's gonna move the ball in situations like that and really put some stress on your defense. What did you think about the performance by some of the wide receivers on the Eagles, since that's your specialty?
Obviously, Alshon had a big night, but I was most impressed with Ertz. He was pretty much carving up the Viking safeties. And right after that, I think it was the next play after the Ajayi screen, was his double move on the sideline, where he got Harrison Smith, caught Harrison Smith, and was like a big gain down to like the 30 or so.
Yeah.
And that put him right in the field goal range.
We are going to be talking about this game forever. Let's kick it over real quick to the Patriots against the Jaguars, and then we'll kind of talk a little more about the matchup with the Eagles and the Patriots. So one thing you notice from the Jaguars-Patriots game, great game scripting by the Jaguars early on. The first 10 passes, 8 of them were off of play action. I was putting the stats up on the Twitter timeline. And like at one point, I think after the first two drives, he had 141 yards or 150 yards or something like that. And the market share for play action yards was at about 81%. So that's where the majority of their offense was coming from. And, you know, they did that specifically because they knew that the Patriots were going to sell out for the run for the most part, try to stifle that like they did against the Titans. What worked against the Patriots early for the Jaguars along with that play action as well?
Yeah, I think they obviously had the threat of setting it up with running with Fournette previous weeks. They had a couple RPO plays. They set up in the same formation four times. I think they ran the same play all four times. They kind of had a a tight end and the running back to the same side, and it was closed. And it was a different result on all four plays, but it looked like the same scheme, and they gained yards on all of them. So I think definitely that script, the opening couple script drives with that script for the Jags was incredible.
Yeah. We talk about on this show, we talk about mental toughness all the time with the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going up against someone in the Patriots that when they go down 14-3, or even in the Super Bowl 28-3, it doesn't affect them. They're cool, calm, they're collected. They've been there so many different times. Was the game ever in any kind of like real doubt for you at all?
Yeah, so it definitely was. The 3rd-and-18 play right before that, when they're down 10 and at 3rd-and-18 backed up in their own territory in the second half, that was like, if they don't convert this, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
But luckily they ran that, like we were talking about earlier, yeah, like a 19-yard crawl route, like you're doing a smart route in Madden, basically run to the sticks, turn around, and, yeah, and throw it to them. After that, though, I was going to say,
at that point,
you knew the Patriots were going to come back.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Is that they've done it so many times, and that's just another sign of a mentally tough team that's been there, and that's going to be a big thing for the Eagles, not having that energy jump like they had before Super Bowl 39, where they were getting all crazy. You know, this team needs to be loose. They need to have fun. They need to do what got them there. You know, just be them and come out and play some doggone good football and hopefully avoid a slow start. This time, I thought, going back to the Eagles game, the opening script, I don't know what you thought, Brad, but I thought Doug Peterson was getting exactly what he wanted. It's just some of the execution was lacking. Burton jumping out and, you know, Torrey Smith could have hung on to one on a tough catch, right, on probably Foles' worst throw of the day,
yeah,
which was crazy.
His only bad one.
Yeah. So what did you think about the scripting from Doug Peterson throughout the game?
Yeah, like I said, I thought it looked pretty good. The Vikings script was phenomenal, but I think the way the Eagles were able to adjust to their offense was, on the Eagles on defense was even better. But the Eagles' execution last night was just incredible. I mean, the long touchdown to Alshon, Foles was able to sit in the pocket for five or six seconds before, yeah, he hit him. It was just like little things like that. It was just pretty much everything went their way.
Yeah. And we were talking about it too with the Vikings with their scripting. You know, you get past those first 15, those first 25 plays, and then you really see what you're made of. And the Eagles are known to be a great halftime adjustment team.
Yeah.
But what they did after the first drive to adjust was insane, because they shut everything down after that. It really didn't shut it down entirely, because the Vikings were moving the ball, and then Barnett, right, got that strip sock.
Yeah, with this pressure on Keenum, forced the throw on the pick six.
Yep. Okay, so what about, because we talked about this on the reaction show, what did you think about the slide protection right, bringing the tight end over to block Barnett?
It was awful. Well, I was thinking they were going to slide left to Derek Barnett. Mm. I think that was probably not the right call with the tight end sliding over. And we were watching earlier, and you know, he tries to cut him because he's so late. It's just like, you got to like motion him over there. You got to do something else. You can't slide all the way over on Derek Barnett.
Yeah. And we saw it. I remember seeing it when I was watching Taco Charlton tape and Pat Elflein from Ohio State.
Yep.
And Ohio State tried to bring Elflein from the center position out to get the end. You're talking about coming way across from the formation with the tight end.
Yeah.
He's definitely not. He was a good blocker most of the time, but I mean, just not athletic enough to be able to get over there and set up a block and anchor. Some of the other things that we saw in the game, one thing I noticed too, and Ertz did it and Jeffrey did it, the wide receivers were, they did a dig or they did an out. Was that, do you think that was tagged for them to go upfield? Do you think they maybe saw something, or is that just backyard football?
I think they're breaking off their routes. On the deep one to Alshon, he runs the deep in, and I think it wasn't open, and Foles was buying time, moving into the pocket, and I think he just went deep. Because I don't think that, if that play was called like that, that's a long, really long developing play.
Yeah.
Like really long developing.
Yeah, it was just because we saw it twice with them, and I was thinking maybe they saw something to where, you know, if it's locked up, the key was just to get upfield. But
right,
with Foles not being the most accurate deep passer, I don't see why that would be installed that way either. So
yeah.
I just think it was just some backyard football.
Yeah.
Which is freaking
and
incredible.
Foles had to put everything into that throw to Alshon. Absolutely everything.
Oh, you're saying he looked like an outfielder throwing it? Like,
yeah, exactly.
All right, so before we get on to some more preview talk for the Patriots and the Eagles, we'll kind of focus on that. First, I want to tell you about the official Locked On Eagles TeePublic store at www.teepublic.com/user/LockedOnEagles. I know that's cumbersome. However, you can just go to teepublic.com, put Locked On Eagles in the search bar. I put it on Twitter today. My son is wearing his little Locked On Eagles onesie, and it put him right out. He was crying and whatnot. That thing goes on him, and he's cool as ice, man. Brad, for a baby that only got two 45-minute naps, that was in the car all day, going to airports, sitting in traffic and everything like that, was it a pretty calm, teeny tiny baby?
Yes, it was.
Based on your experience?
Pretty adorable as well.
And that's what the official Locked On Eagles onesie will do for your baby. So reduce the stress in your life. Get yourself a Locked On Eagles onesie while you're there. Get a coffee mug because you're guaranteed to get more out of your coffee when you're drinking it out of a Locked On Eagles coffee mug. So go to tpublic.com, put in the search bar Locked On Eagles, get yourself some Eagles swag. All right, so the next thing that we kind of want to talk about here is the Patriots and the Eagles, how they match up. The first thing that Benjamin Solak brought up when we talked about it last night, just real quick, was that the Eagles' defensive line can do damage to the Patriots' offensive line. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would, but I would say that I think the Patriots did a really good job of neutralizing some of the Jaguars' pass rush yesterday. Yeah. Yannick Ngakoue was a non-factor. I don't think he even had a tackle. Mm. Campbell really wasn't doing too much. Dante Fowler gave him troubles early, and then I think Solder kind of locked him up as the game went on. So, yes, the Eagles' defensive line is talented, but I think the Patriots' O-line was serviceable, was good enough yesterday.
Yeah, and I'll say that we expected the defenses are going to look the same or somewhat the same between the Eagles and the Jaguars. Jaguars play a lot of zone. We play a lot of zone. Sometimes I'll mix in with man with a single high safety. Yep. You know, we do a lot of that too. And some of the concepts that you're going to get from the Patriots, you know, the slant flat, the go flat. You get the blue concept where you get the hitches on the outside with the streaks along the seams. Exactly. Yeah. You'll get a lot of that stuff too. And I thought the Patriots did a good job of getting the ball out of Brady's hands pretty early. The Vikings really tried to run a short game against us. And once we adjusted and came closer to the line and muddied that first read for Keenum, it became a lot harder for him. My concern is Brady is not going to get stuck on that first read and not going to hang on the ball forever. He knows where he's going with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's much more prepared, much more cool, collected in the pocket. Keenum was erratic yesterday, missed a couple open receivers. Even in the red zone, he missed Thielen on probably would have been a walk-in touchdown.
Yep.
I don't see that happening with Brady. I think he's going to be a little bit more accurate than what Keenum was yesterday.
What about the – okay, so you're the Patriot – you're Matt Patricia right now, and you're looking at this Eagles offense that runs a lot of, you know, RPO concepts. Yeah. They run a lot of zone concepts in the running game, but then they'll also mix in the trap run, which, by the way, Locked On Eagles went on a four-minute rant about using traps. And what was the blunt touchdown? It was a trap. It was beautiful. Well executed. Why block Linval Joseph when you can let him block himself, throw a tight end in front of him for a half a second, get a touchdown. Absolutely beautiful run by LeGarrette Blount, who probably reconcussed Andrew Sandejo, who wanted no part of that tackle whatsoever. But going into this game, so you got the traps and all these other different concepts. Now you've got this vertical passing attack that came out of nowhere with Foles. As the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, what are you taking away first? How are you doing that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest storyline leading up to the game is going to be how the Patriots defend the RPOs. Hmm. That's probably the biggest part of the offense with Foles, probably what he does best. And some of them are like pretty basic. Like we were watching earlier, and they run inside zone with a little slant flat.
Yep.
He could give it, he could keep it, or he can throw the flat route with a little, like, kind of like a little rub.
Yeah.
So the traditional way is man free, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bring some pressure. The Patriots have done that in the past, but I think they like to be in their two shell a little bit more.
Right. You expect a lot of man coverage, but too high?
Yeah. They're more of a man. They run more man, especially with Gilmore and Butler. They could go man free, and they put McCourty up as the high safety.
Uh-huh.
Kind of go man across the board, like Rowe as the nickel corner. Don't know if they're going to do that, but that's probably the number one thing, is stopping the RPOs first and then stopping everything else after that.
So the Eagles have had a lot of problems with stunts. It's well documented on Locked On Eagles. We talked about it a lot ever since the San Francisco 49ers game, where they got a lot of pressure on us in the beginning of the game. Solomon Thomas and the bunch there, Buckner and Armstead and all that. They got a lot of pressure there. And then the Seahawks picked it up, and the Seahawks really gave us problems. And then the Rams picked it up, and the Rams pressured the heck out of us. The Patriots run a lot of stunts. Last I checked, I think it's like 38% of their pass rushes, they're coming with some kind of stunt. Would you expect more of the same and maybe less blitzing with too high man coverage?
So definitely the Patriots pass rush is kind of like patchwork. They have some talent, like Trey Flowers is all right, Dietrich Wise Jr. They've gotten 11 sacks in the two playoff games total, but it is kind of like they don't have one dominant pass rusher. They don't have Derek Barnett.
Right. Yeah.
So they do have to run a lot of stunts, but like guys like James Harrison, you know, he comes in, Wise, Flowers, they kind of move them all around, try to get after the quarterback. I definitely think that'll be a big part as far as like trying to get after the QB without having to bring extra players.
And one thing that you noticed against Mariota, against Bortles, they're mobile quarterbacks.
Yep.
And Bortles will bail on a pocket before he even hits that back step in his drop. One thing they did a lot against those two quarterbacks was five spy, where you've got four rushing and you've got one guy lurking right in the middle.
Yeah, waiting. Yeah.
Yeah. And Foles is not a mobile quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think that helps you as far as freeing up the defense to be more creative with things, not having to account for that?
Definitely. And that could be a big factor as far as defending the RPOs, like the zone read. If that's like the quarterback responsible player and the end man last comes and crash down the running back, if they bring a twist like that. So that's definitely going to help pretty much stopping the RPOs and the zone reads.
Nice. So what I'm predicting now is that in the red zone, Nick Foles is going to keep a zone read after handing it off like seven times in a row, and he's going to get himself a touchdown. He's going to be the MVP. That's what I got. That's what I got from that.
Going to juke out James Harrison.
All right.
Yeah. Run him over.
Brad, what do you think about the opening line of, I think I saw it at six points? Six and a half.
Yeah, wow. It dropped to 5.5 within a few hours, but it opened up at 6.5. That's a little steep. Yeah, I don't think I would have bet the Eagles on that. I think it's gonna be a close game.
Yeah,
Patriots Super Bowls are always tight. They're always close games. They're always coming down the wire. So I think 6.5 was definitely a little steep. I would have bet the Eagles in that situation.
Yeah, and I definitely did. I went to mybookie.ag, the best betting site on the planet, where you play, you win, you get paid. And hopefully I'm going to get paid off of this bet of the disrespectful people in Vegas. So, you know, no one likes us. We don't care. You know the rallying cry around here. So, okay, enough preview talk. We're going to be talking with Benjamin Solak tomorrow. We'll be talking with Marshall Field from Locked On Patriots and Inside the Pylon. He's also down there at Mobile. So we're going to be doing some stuff together. It's going to be awesome. Kicking our focus over to the Senior Bowl real quick. Brad, what are you most excited to see, maybe player-wise or just from a position-wise, maybe a deep position that you're really excited for in Mobile?
So the position I have my most focus on is wide receivers. So that's obviously going to be my number one concern. A lot of them dropped out recently, which it takes it kind of a hit, but I think there's still enough talent that it's going to be pretty intriguing, that the class of receivers down there between like Marcel Amen, James Washington, guys like Michael Gallup, Jamon Moore, Cedric Wilson. They're all Jaleel Scott is like super intriguing at 6'6", 215.
Can
jump out of the gym. So definitely wide receivers. Other than that, the tight ends kind of intrigue me. I think Ian Thomas from Indiana is very intriguing. I feel like Gesicki and Goedert, they're all kind of like maybe like second round picks value wise, but they're still looking for one person to separate out of the group, I think.
If there was a guy that we could just target for the Eagles real quick, maybe in early day three or late day two, to be a number two wide receiver, because we don't know if Torrey Smith is going to be back next year. He's probably not. Is there a guy like that that would fit this system, that would fit being a number two wide receiver for the Eagles if they decide not to go Mac Hollins with that route, or just to get some depth for that kind of role?
Yeah, I think definitely James Washington, Oklahoma State, can win at all levels of the field, kind of like Torrey Smith. I think he had the most most catches of 20 yards or more, I think, in the country this year. So that would definitely fill a role that Torrey Smith has been good at for his whole career, the downfield threat. Jaleel Scott, like I mentioned.
Monster.
Yeah. He has crazy potential. He could produce in the red zone right away. He could be your red zone guy, 6-7 touchdowns as a rookie as the rest of his game develops. And he kind of gets a little more nuance, learns the game a little bit more because he was a junior college kid.
I think he'd be really good at those backside slants too on those RPOs as well.
Yeah, yeah. And his size in the slants too, yeah.
Yeah.
Marcel Aitman too from Oklahoma State. I think he might end up sneaking up into like the first round I think the buzz around him being his physical profile at like 6'4", I think he's like 220. If he has a big week in Mobile, I think you might see him in the first round.
Very nice. Very nice. He has been Brad Kelly of BreakingFootball.com. Brad, one more time, remind the people where they can find your social media stuff.
At Brad Kelly 17, K-E-L-L-Y 17, at Breaking Football, Breaking_FB or BreakingFootball.com. It's pretty much all my material. This week, we're going to be live tweeting practices, weigh-ins, the whole thing from Breaking Football and from our personal accounts. So definitely follow along with that. I've wrote two recent articles about the wide receiver class at the Senior Bowl for Breaking Football and about the two most underrated players that we're going to see this week. In my opinion, Ian Thomas from Indiana, the tight end, and Mike McCray, the linebacker from Michigan. Both of those are on Breaking Football as well.
Go check out BreakingFootball.com. They're going to have a ton of draft content for you. I'm excited to go hang out with my boys there as well. It's going to be a blast. Tomorrow,
We'll have Benjamin Solak back. We'll be talking some more Eagles-Vikings and our glorious, glorious victory. Dog, 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 let's go. No one likes us. We don't care. We all we got. We all we need. Remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.